Have you ever been told that just thinking positively will make everything in your life work out? You know, you just need to think more positive. We advocate for thinking positive. However, the truth is, there's some crap that happens in life that's sometimes out of your control. Today, we hear from a woman who has had massive losses in her life and now teaches how to become mentally strong by building strong circuits. And she says, yeah, no matter what you've been through, these circuits can make your brain happy. Welcome to another episode of Happy Brain. My name is Heather Parody, and thank you for joining us as we explore the fun side to mental health by digging into the simple hacks and fun tips to make your mental health journey more enjoyable and your brain a little happier. Hey, y'all, welcome to today's episode of Happy Brain. I'm so grateful that you are here. My name is Heather Parody. I am your host today. We are talking with Dr. B, Christy Bandukamara. She is the founder and creator of Mentally Strong Method. She's been a psychiatric nurse practitioner since 2000. Her medical career began as an Army medic, attained a master's in nursing as a psychiatric nurse practitioner, and then ended up getting her doctorate. She's awesome. Dr. B, look her up. Her story is nuts though, y'all. She's experienced some massive losses in her life, but is a proponent of rewiring your brain and, yeah, choosing joy. But before we get started, if you have not done so yet, if you enjoyed this show, I ask you to invite one of your friends to listen in. All you gotta do is take a screenshot, DM it to them, maybe send them a little link. If there's someone you know who could use this message that you are about to hear from Dr. B, I'd really appreciate you sharing it out. It's gonna give them some hope. Now, starting off, Dr. B, creating strong circuits. I had to know, where are these circuits and why would you want strong ones?
The neurobiology in your brain can actually change, and we can do that through positive thinking. I know there's lots of people out there that talk about, you know, reframing, think positive, positive things will happen. But it's actually a neurochemical process of circuit. And when you are feeding those negative circuits, when you're saying the same thing over and over again to yourself, and it's the dialogue is negative, you're actually creating a biochemical circuit of that negativity. And so the longer you've been doing it and the more often you've been doing it, the harder it is to change that circuit. But you can. You have to start thinking about it of not truths, you know. So a lot of people talk about, well, if you just think positive, it'll all work out. And the reality is, in my story, I've lost two children, one in a tragic drowning accident and one to a terminal condition. I've had to learn how to reframe things, you know, continue to try to think positive. But if you, I like to think of it in percentages. If you are talking negatively to yourself more than 50% of the time, then that is going to become overwhelming. That's going to become what is occupying your mind. Whereas we need to think about it is, you know, we need to be thinking positively at least 50% of the time, even on our bad day. We have this all or nothing thinking that we do. We're like either, oh, I'm great. I love myself. I'm good. Or I hate myself. And neither of those are 100% true, right? So how can we find true balance? We have to, you know, start creating those strong circuits in the positive, not in the negative.
If you don't mind me asking, was this a conclusion that you came to or something that you studied prior to your loss? Or was this a result of it?
So I've been a psychiatric nurse practitioner for 20 years. I'm a strong proponent of cognitive behavioral therapy. Like, I really believe that is the strong scientific basis for true change. Because if you change the way you think, you can change the way the things that are happening to you in your behavior. And that's what cognitive behavioral therapy is. So I knew I was a proponent of cognitive behavioral therapy, but then everything just started happening to me. So I adopted five children, three of which had pretty significant PTSD and reactive attachment. They were 7, 8, and 10 at the time. So pretty significant trauma.
Siblings?
A sibling group. And so we were trying to deal with all of that. And then Johnny dies in a drowning accident. And it kind of, and then I have two biological children. So that just kind of sweeps, you know, things out from under your feet. You're just like, you know, how am I supposed to really deal with this? You know, I put a lot of faith and trust in God. In my worldly sense, he wasn't there for me, right? And so, And then shortly after, my biological son was diagnosed with a terminal condition. They tested the whole family, and my other biological child and my husband both have that terminal condition. So then we're dealing with PTSD, reactive attachment, in teenage girls, as well as, you know, running my son to the doctor over and over again. He was very sick, progressing very quickly. I mean, he ended up passing away in 2016. But from the time of probably Johnny's death to Reggie's death, I was doing this mentally strong method on myself. I don't have time to go to a therapist, so I'm going to be my own therapist. And then I realized after Reggie's death, like, I have to share this with the world. Like, we need to start teaching people to be their own counselor and not necessarily being dependent on counselors. There's lots of great counselors out there, but who has the time and even the access? I mean, and so there's a huge access problem. So we have courses launched on our website where you can actually learn the mentally strong method to start helping yourself. We're about to launch an app. My vision is to empower people to be able to do this themselves. And then obviously, if you're struggling with significant problems, you should be seeing a professional, right? If you are feeling like hurting yourself or hurting somebody else, or really trying your best and still can't gain control of these emotions, then you should be seeing a professional. But the reality is we all need to learn these techniques, and we kind of separate, these people have mental illness. And the reality is we all need to learn these techniques. And it can be summarized in three words: think, organize, and choose. You know, whatever you're thinking about, whatever's bothering you, think that through. And we, you know, we try to start making connections into the past and where these things actually originated, but also organizing. We have no problem thinking, and we know we need to choose positive things, but we're not necessarily organizing it so that it can be done in the right fashion. I mean, we can't deal with grief the same way we deal with anxiety. Like, those are two very different things. We really try to help you learn how to control your brain.
You said something interesting here, where something along the lines of controlling your emotions. And when I've learned some of these techniques, think, organize, and change. Is that what you said?
Choose.
Think, organize, and choose. I may conceptually understand that, but when I've been hit with strong emotion, like you've experienced and you walk through, how do we learn to control those emotions and get the best of it?
Well, you have to learn to have insight. And this is, we try to just use willpower and we say, oh, I'm just going to control it. And unfortunately, women are kind of pegged as being emotional. And that is somehow negative. Well, I'd like you to reframe that.
It's a strength. Come on now. Amen.
It is a strength. We need to, you know, empower women that this is who we are. We don't have to suppress it, but we do have to control it. Can't just be wearing everything on our sleeves, right? And so thinking through that process is having insight. What we usually do is just ruminate, like the negative and the problems, and we just keep thinking about the same thing. What we do in the first element is we do a thought map where we go backwards. We say, okay, what's making you anxious now? What has made you anxious in the past? What about, when was the first time you felt anxious in your childhood? And how do you think that relates to your relationship with God? And we pull that all together, because oftentimes, especially when we find our core connections, they started in childhood. Somebody told us we were ugly. Somebody told us we were fat. Somebody told us we were stupid. Whatever. It doesn't matter. And we know intellectually it really doesn't matter, right? But it still comes up for us. But if you learn how to map and know where those things are coming from, it's easier to let them go and say, okay, this is not actually what's happening here. I'm a mature person. I don't have to react to this. And so you do need to have a little bit of insight into why there's emotion behind something. And then we organize it to categories, because not everything is the same. I can't change, you know, the fact that I've lost a child, but there are things that trigger that emotion. And if I haven't process it, it's going to come up at inappropriate times, right? Learning how to control when you process that. Our most complicated clients are those with trauma. It changes your perception. It changes how you respond. It changes everything about you. And you have to grieve that. But you also have to realize that trauma seeps into all of the categories. And oftentimes people with trauma to make bad decisions and start kind of re-traumatizing themselves. And that's why we have to organize it. So In complicated cases, it's not that simple to just think, organize, and choose, right? But if you know the whole mentally strong method, you can begin to do it in your head. I've been doing this on myself for so long. I know what my core connections are. And I can give you an example of just last week, right? All of these things started happening. My practice administrator left the practice and kind of left us with a mess. And ever since I was young, I have thought that I was stupid. And it's kind of comical now. I have a doctorate degree. I'm very successful. And I know what it's from is I have a little bit of ADD and I have a hard time organizing and keeping things organized and reading things that are, you know, big documents and that kind of stuff. And all of this stuff was dumped on me last week. And it started to affect me emotionally. And I had to remember, no, I am smart. I can do this. I don't like to do it. It's hard, but it allowed me to make those strong, you know, feed the strong circuits instead of the negative. We oftentimes, under a lot of stress, we revert to what's easy or comfortable, and that's the negative, right?
Yes. Yes.
So we've got to like make that conscious choice. That's why the third thing is that choose, right? You think organized, and then you have to choose. We have to choose positive, especially when the flooding of the negative is coming in.
Think, organize, and choose. How has this made your brain happy?
So I just keep, you know, I'm able to keep going. I'm able to help other people. I mean, if you look at the culture of mothers who have lost a child, it's almost like they feel like their life is over. And I reach out to these women all the time. This is the worst loss a mother could experience. And I still am able to help other people. I'm able to laugh. I have fun. I mean, that, you know, people joke, I could hear you laughing all the way down the hall. You know, I'm able to find that joy moving forward. And the reality is I'm going to lose my husband and my other biological daughter to this condition. And so I'm still dealing with it, that anticipatory grief and the grief of, you know, oh, they're getting a little worse. Now they're in a wheelchair. And so, and just demonstrating that we can, regardless. And my personal book is Mentally Strong Against All Odds. No matter what is going on in your life, no matter what has happened to you, you can choose to find joy, but it's in a balance. I think oftentimes people think of happiness and joy as you're supposed to be like that 100% of the time.
Right.
And I'm saying you've got to find the time to deal with your real issues.
Amen.
And the, you know, and so that you can be strong and find, and that's why I talk about percentages. You know, when it comes to my core connections and my negative thoughts, I can keep those under 50%, but they don't go away.
Yeah.
And this is where the life coaching industry is missing the mark.
Come on, you just think positive.
But the reality is that's not, you know, that's not what's happening in most people's lives. They're dealing with thing after thing and pain after pain. And the more that comes on you and you don't deal with it, it's just going to come out in other ways. And so we have lots of, you know, illnesses that could have been prevented. Yeah. I mean, it just compounds and it's very complicated. Our mental health is very complicated.
You can choose to find joy. Make sure you connect with Dr. B on her website, mentallystrong.com. There's some awesome courses over there, their YouTube channel, social media that is linked in the show notes. But before we go, Dr. B, anything else?
I want people to believe that they can control their brain.
Wow.
I think in our efforts to teach about mental illness, we have created this thing where, oh, it's not your fault. You are anxious. You are depressed. And people begin to own it.
Come on.
Rather than trying to fight that. And so, you know, my thing is, yes, get help for those things, but don't own them. You can be mentally strong. You can learn to control these things in your brain. Depending on how complex, it may take more time, but it's a lifetime journey. And that's the other thing. This is no fast food fix. You are not going to go to the therapist for 6 sessions and be done, right? This is a lifetime of growth, and just get on that journey and don't get off.
I want people to believe that they can control their brain. After hearing her story, what she's walked through, I hope you take those words to heart, my friends. Listen, whether it is taking a moment to tap into your subconscious, doing some heart math, or building some strong circuits, we hope you take a moment for yourself today, my friends, and keep that brain of yours happy. Thank you for listening to another episode of Happy Brain. If you enjoyed this, make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you have an extra second, leave us an honest review over on iTunes or your Apple podcasting app. And until next time, my friends, keep that brain of yours happy.